Blog Talk Radio.
Topic that is focused on Christian Zionism, and we're going to be looking at this topic from the perspective of what does the Bible say concerning some of the events which are taking place in the land of Palestine, particularly the ethnic cleansing which is going on there, and the involvement of the State of Israel in, and particularly as it relates to their role in Bible prophecy. Many who are and who label themselves as Christian Zionists support ethnic cleansing and therefore the removal of indigenous people from their land by virtue or in the name of Bible prophecy. In other words, they believe that what's going on is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. So we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight and see if that is in fact the case. And we also encourage you to call in and ask a question if you have it. We certainly want to encourage you to stay on topic because our time is very limited tonight. We only have another 25 minutes or so as we delve into this particular topic, and so we're going to get moving here just shortly. Also, if you have an interest in calling in, we want to encourage you to do that at the number 714-888-7427. And it is a toll call, by the way. Again, that number is 714-888-7427, and we will take your question live on the air. But now let's take a look at this. We have people who call themselves Christians and who are Christians, by the way. Particularly, however, we have those who label themselves as Christian Zionists. And by that, we're talking about those who support the political establishment of the State of Israel in the sense that it is favored by God, they are chosen by God, and as a result of that, they have been entitled to the land in Palestine as an everlasting covenant. If you have listened to men by the likes of John Hagee and the Christians United for Israel, the CUFI, lobby for the Christian Zionists. You probably are familiar with the works of Jerry Falwell and Hal Lindsey, of course, and Tim LaHaye. These are all names which are well known in the Christian Zionist movement, men who support the role of Israel or who did support the role of Israel and those who remain yet do so. So we want to talk about this a little bit tonight from the perspective of the covenant that God made with Israel and Abraham and whether or not that covenant demands and teaches that there is an unconditional, eternal promise or right given to Israel to possess the land of Palestine. So much so that that covenant, that claim supersedes international law and thereby entitles them to that land forever. In other words, that no matter what happens, who is in the land, they have the right to the land and therefore have the right to expel others from the land. Now, this is a very, very important topic, and I do hope that there are some dispensationalists out there who are listening and who will call into the show and respond to some of the things that I'm going to be saying here just shortly. I would really appreciate the opportunity to converse with you about some of these matters. Now, first of all, let's talk about the idea of ethnic cleansing. We're talking about some 700,000 indigenous people of Palestine who have been removed from their land over the past 60 years in order to make way for a settlement of Israel and for those who claim, based on the Bible, and I'm saying this particularly from the perspective of the Christian Zionists, particularly that they claim that this is the purpose and the will of God. In other words, that you have the right to take property, that when I say you, I mean they have the right to take property, they have the right to kill people in cold blood, destroy their property, and remove them from the land and claim it as their own. Is that a Bible teaching? And we have those who will support this as being of the Lord. In other words, they believe that this is what the Bible teaches, and many of them give thousands of dollars and tens of thousands of dollars to these lobbyist efforts and have placed not only the Palestinians in danger, but also those who dwell in Israel, Christian, Muslims, and Jews, the indigenous populations. And as many will argue, it is a threat to U.S. security. That was established very much so in the earlier discussions about whether or not to accept a state of Israel in the land of Palestine, and of course that goes on to this very day. Many believe that 9/11 was a direct result of Arab blowback and backlash from the Muslim community as a result of that. And of course, you know, Christians or those who are Christian Zionists march forward and continue to voice their support for Israel, believing that it is the Israel of the Bible. And we want to talk about that tonight. We want to share some information with you on it from the perspective of the Scripture. Now let's go to the Word of God and let's talk about this particular concept of this eternal covenant that God made with Israel. And we're going to start in the book of Genesis with the promise that was made to Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says concerning Abram, as the Lord said to him, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, this is the initial promise which God made to Abraham, or to Abram, which was his name at the time. And I think it's important for us to understand who Abraham was and where he was from. First, Abraham was from Ur of the Chaldees. Now, he was a Hebrew, and the word Hebrew comes from the term which means, or means rather, beyond the river. And the river of which it has reference is the river Euphrates. And so he was from beyond the Euphrates River. In his country, they served idols. And that land, Ur of the Chaldees, is today known as Iraq. So Abraham was not a Jew, and nor was he a Gentile. I had someone call in to a radio show and express, or at least left a comment, or and may have called into the show. I can't remember. It's been some time ago now. And really were highly upset that I had made the statement that Abraham was not a Jew. When God called him, he was from Ur of the Chaldees. He was not a Jew, and he was not an Israelite from the perspective of the nation that God formed. Abraham was a Gentile. And we can see that very clearly from Romans chapter 4, when the Bible talks about God having called him, and he asks the question, did he call him in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Now, circumcision refers to the people of Israel. And when God called Abraham to demonstrate that the call of Abraham was by faith and not under the law of Moses, God made an express point in saying, in order to include, not exclude, in order to include the Gentiles, he made the express point in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham was called while he was in uncircumcision. In other words, he was not a circumcised Jew. Now, later on, God did give him a covenant of circumcision, but it's important to note that the promise that was made to Abraham, the promise that all families would be blessed in him, was given to him before he was circumcised. And that's significant. Now, it is so important to understand the timing of this promise as it relates to Abraham, the promise, and the land that God said he was going to give them. Because people say God gave the land to the Jews forever, and they have no idea sometimes in terms of the contextual understanding of that text. And so we have these Christians blindly, and I don't know how blind it is. I can't make that statement and say that it's, I'm sure it's not totally blindness on their part, but they are supporting ethnic cleansing and doing so because they think it's right. You know, Jesus made a statement like that when he talked to the apostles and prepared them to go out to the world to teach the gospel. He says, the time will come when those who kill you will think that they're doing God's service, John chapter 16. And that is precisely what is going on in the world today, that those who are killing these innocent people are doing so because they think that they're doing God's service and that it is God's right, or that it is their God-given right to see these people put to death. Some people will ask, well, why are you concerned? Why are people in America concerned? Because they have drug America into this, and while America perhaps wants to appear to be innocent, they are not, and it affects just about everyone. They drug America into World War I and into World War II and are about to drag America into another war by talking about preemptive strikes on Iran in the Middle East. And it's one of the most unstable areas in the world today because of this problem. And therefore, we want to talk about it. Now, obviously, we can't get to all of this in one broadcast. We're going to talk about it more. And but we do encourage you to take note of it. Now, this broadcast will be available shortly after our live presentation in about 10 or 15 minutes, and so you can listen to it by archives or in the archives. Now, let's get to the text. Here we have God telling Abram that in him all families of the earth would be blessed. Now, when we turn to chapter 13, we have God making a promise to Abraham concerning the land. And this is where men like John Hagee and other dispensationalists will take this passage and run with it. And this is where many of those who are Zionists and Christian Zionists believe that they have the divine approval and authority from God to extend the land promise to Israel forever. And when I say Israel, I'm talking about the modern state of Israel. So let's take a look at it. In Genesis 13 and the verses 14 and 15, the Bible says, "And the Lord said to Abram," after Lot had separated from him, "Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered." So they say, here's the text. God said, "For all the land which you see, I will give to you and your descendants forever." And it's like, we can shut the Bible at that point. That's all we need to know. That's it. But you see, that's not it for the careful Bible student. That's not it for the thinking Bible student. That's not it for the Bible student who rightly divides the word. And we're going to share that with you at this point. It's important to realize that the promise made in Genesis 13 and verse 14 is a promise that was not fulfilled in the life of Abraham, but was fulfilled in the life of his descendants. And the time frame of which it was fulfilled was 430 years after God made the promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Now, that has a significant impact on whether or not this promise of land found in Genesis 14 is the same promise that God made in Genesis 12. And I'm suggesting to you that they are not the same promise. One promise is made in Genesis 12, and God makes another promise that would be fulfilled at another time in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14. Now let me get on with the proof of that. If we turn to Galatians, the third chapter, beginning at verse 16, God makes a statement concerning the promise that he made to Abraham in Genesis 12 and verse 3. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." Now understand that the term seed there is in the singular. It is not plural, the meaning of which is that God did not make this promise with all the descendants of Abraham. He made this promise concerning the one seed of Abraham, and he tells us in the text who that seed is. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." He does not say, "and to seeds," that's plural, "as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ." Now that ought to be reason enough for people to step back for a moment. How is it that Zionists, and I mean the political Zionists in the state of Israel, who reject Jesus Christ, who will put people in the land of Israel who try to proselyte or convert Jews to Christianity, will imprison them for 5 years. And if they leave a pamphlet and a Jew is converted by that, that Jew himself will be imprisoned for 3 years. How could they claim that such a state is of God? But let's go beyond that. Back to the text. When he said in verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, he does not say unto seeds as of many, but as of one, into your seed who is Christ. Now look at verse 17. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. Now here's what we have going on here. We have the promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis 12, that in him all families of the earth would be blessed. Then we have the promise made in Genesis 13 that God was going to give to Abraham's descendants the land. But I want you to understand that the time frame that God was going to give the land was much later than the time in which God had expressed in terms of the promise in Genesis 12. He says, if we follow the text, he was going to give them this land. And if we go to Genesis chapter 15, it comes out very clearly the time frame that God would give the land to the descendants of Abraham. In verse 16 of Genesis chapter 15, Genesis 15 and the verse is, let's just start back as early as verse 13. Genesis 15 and verse 13. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. Now that's Israel, who will go down into Egypt. And the Bible says, they will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. Now that's the 400 years that Paul talked about in Galatians chapter 3. And also, the nation whom they serve will I judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. That's the deliverance of Israel from Egypt after their Egyptian bondage. Now look at what he tells Abram. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it shall come to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. And of course, that was God cutting a covenant with Abraham regarding this land promised to his descendants. And he said, on the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land from the river Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Now, what point is it that we want to make? It is the fact that Abraham never received one single square foot of the physical land of Canaan. Never received one square foot. The only way Abraham inherited that land was through his descendants. The significance of that is, It is not, therefore, the promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis 12 and verse 3 when he says, in you all families of the earth would be blessed. The land promise was given to Israel and would be fulfilled 430 years after the promise made in Genesis 12 and verse 3. And that promise, or rather the land promise in Genesis 13 and Genesis 15, which is so often quoted by the dispensationalists and the Christian Zionists, is the promise that was fulfilled under the law of Moses. Abraham was never under the law of Moses. We pointed that out when we talked about the fact that he was uncircumcised when God gave him the original promise. But when God gave the promise that fulfilled the land promise, he gave it to those who were under Moses, and therefore who were under the law. Now, what are the implications of that? And we're just about out of time, but let's see if we can develop this point. The Bible says, speaking of that covenant made 430 years later where Israel is given the land, he says, and this I say, that the law which was 430 years later cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. In other words, the covenant made under Moses, where they are given the land 430 years after the promise that God made with Abraham, could not annul, it could not do away with the promise that God made to Abraham. So the land promise where they are given the land is different from the promise God made to Abraham. Now look at what he says in verse 18. He says, for if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Therefore, the inheritance that God promised Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3 is not the covenant that he made with Israel concerning the land promise in Genesis 13, verse 14, and 15, verses 13 and following. Let's take a quick look at Acts chapter 7 and verse 5. We only have a minute to do this. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 5, Stephen, speaking to the Jews of his day and explaining to them this very point, he says in verse 3 that God had appeared to Abraham, who was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. Now watch verse 5. And gave him no inheritance in it, not even enough to set his foot on. But even when Abraham had no child, he promised to give it to him for possession and to his descendants after him. But God spoke on this way, that his descendants will dwell in a foreign land, and they would bring them into bondage and oppress them 400 years. Now, that's exactly what we were just talking about. Abraham did not receive the land of Canaan. Now, in our next broadcast, what we're going to talk about is the sojourning of Abraham in the land of Canaan, which evidenced the fact that he did not regard it as the promise God made to him. He viewed himself as a sojourner, as an alien, as a foreigner in the land of Canaan. And not only was Abraham so, we're going to show where God said he was so as well. And so we encourage you to stay tuned to be with us on our next broadcast when we will demonstrate the truth of this matter. I'm William Bell with AllThingsFulfilled.com, and we thank you for listening. Tune in to our next broadcast, and we're going to further develop this point to demonstrate how immoral it is for Christians, Christian Zionists, to be supporting the ethnic cleansing that's going on in the name of the Lord by, as some will teach it, by misconstruing the Bible and teaching this flawed theology.